Hey now, we're going to talk about Golden Bachelor and Bachelor in Paradise like we always do, with a thin veil of academic jargon that thus making us a PhD podcast.
Stop with the gimmick.
No, it's not a gimmick. It's not a gimmick.
I think it's a gimmick, and I'm kind of...
I think it's professional because you're... Every episode could be someone's new first episode.
Yeah, so true. And we argue about the name every episode. So
well, you keep mentioning our like side act.
Well, other podcasts do these elaborate written up introductions. Like they're like, "Hello and welcome to the Bachelor PhD. I'm Craig, and I'll be your co-host today. With me is..." People have these elaborate intros that they write out, and then they say,
"Are you talking about like corporate?"
Yeah, no, I think that Chris Harrison doesn't do it. So
he does it in a different way.
Yeah, I think that people just, I think they look. I'm a guest today, and far be it from me to tell you all how to do anything at all, because I love the show. However, you all want to introduce it, I think though that. Just giving a quick, you know, I say Vanderpump Rob's a podcast about Hollywood, and that's it. And then I'm off to the races, and I talk about how Jax almost drowned, and that's it. And you know, but I don't call that a gimmick. So I think maybe it's just Craig's tone of voice. Craig, what do you think about that?
Okay, let's not all gang up on Craig today.
Oh, but that's the first part.
The Caitlin's not here, so there's no ganging up on Craig going
to
happen.
You didn't introduce Rob.
I'm working on it. It takes time to ease into an hour and 15-minute episode. So Caitlin's not here, but before you turn off your podcast player, because we know Caitlin has lots of fans, in her seat is our boss over at the Bridge Burner Collective.
I have explicitly said that is not what I am and not what I want to be.
And the namesake of the podcast that EZR and I have both guested on, called Vanderpump Rob's, it's Rob.
Yeah. Ooh.
Okay, who played that?
Rob.
Oh, okay. See, that's the kind of sound effects we need, EZR. EZR, for those that don't know, runs our audio board, which is great because we have clips from episodes. And I think we're the only Bachelor podcast that I know of that plays actual clips from the show as supporting evidence for our thesis. But I also want sound effects, but you refuse to play them, EZR. Yes,
Craig just wants a morning zoo radio show about the Bachelor.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what he wants. Yes, and I can't get behind the morning zoo. I don't like that.
I'm more
on the news side in the mornings. You know, I want
They don't play sound effects on news.
No, it's
the news
out
with
there.
Robin on Howard Stern is like the. Been around for 50
you know
years.
Just because you put news in something doesn't mean that it's the news.
Yeah, yes. It's just the newest thing. Wait, someone defined it.
All right, you guys.
Okay, go ahead. Listen,
we have some listener mail.
Oh, wow.
So why don't you cue up some listener mail music, EZR? Yeah.
It's been a long time. Craig wants to sing it.
Yeah. Oh, look.
You can tell Joey Lawrence is not. Go ahead. He's karaokeing it, which is totally fine.
Oh, yeah.
But he's no singer.
His Joey Lawrence album, we've talked about this before, was killer back in the 90s.
All right.
Why Matthew Lawrence was never in a Marvel movie?
Why?
Oh, he goes and talks about the corruption of Hollywood. People can Google it.
Oh, I'm please.
Not, I know.
Are I'm, you I'm listening really... to their podcast called Brotherly Love, starring
Hell
Joey
no.
Lawrence, Matthew Lawrence, and Andy Lawrence?
Hell no. I cannot think. There is nothing that would ever get me to press play on that podcast.
That's what I'm telling you, Craig.
I haven't. I've listened to one episode. Yeah, it was tough. It was
Craig has trouble listening to podcasts when he thinks the people talk too fast.
Hey, we're not ganging up on Craig today. Okay.
No, I'm just saying, like, you have weird excuses for not listening to things.
Well,
I think that was literally your excuse that you couldn't tell them apart.
Yes, I couldn't tell them apart. That was my
brothers
reasoning.
With same affectations. Wow.
Yeah. No, it's very hard to tell them apart. Okay, listen. One of our viewers, readers, listeners, who is on our Instagram, DM'd us.
You should give your fans a nickname, like scholars.
Ooh.
One of our scholars.
That's very good, Rob. Thanks.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Craig loves
see,
it.
This is see, that, that's working out already.
If you can already picture all the layout of the land, you know.
Yeah. Well, EZR and I hung out live the other day, and we came up with this great idea that if we do like a live show, Rob.
Pretty mm-hmm. sure it was Craig.
We'll dress in graduation regalia.
Does that sound like something I would think is a great idea? But...
You guys are already going to do a live show with me in December. So.
Yeah, I hope so.
But don't do that.
No, I will not.
I want you both to dress like jacks. That's what I want.
Okay, listen. This scholar wants to stay anonymous. But basically, the gist of the comment was that they didn't like that we referred to old people as old people.
Mm-hmm. What are they?
There was more to it than that. Like saying, like, all old, you know, all... Old people, all people who happen to be old. Is that so? I'm confused. Is that what we're supposed to say?
Well,
I didn't read the message. I don't know.
Craig. Okay, so basically, I've been saying old people facetiously because I have a hard time kind of like, I think that I value our listeners, especially these types of listeners. Who are critical thinkers in my eyes. I have no idea what else to call them because I think this person is one of the critical thinkers of our audience. Some people just kind of put us on and, you know, just kind of let it all wash over them.
I hear that.
Yeah, which is fine too. But some people are like, oh, that point, this point, that point, and they pick us apart. And I, right or wrong, you know, whether we're right or wrong, I enjoy that because I think they are thinking about what we're saying. I am trying my best, and I'm not trying I think I do this all the time. I try never to shy away from death discussions.
Right.
So I think that's what I'm doing here. I think we should all be so lucky to become old people. So to me, it is not insulting, but I understand it can sound that way because that's the way I'm accidentally making it sound. And I apologize. I do think I'm wrong, but I don't think I'm trying to be insulting.
Yeah.
Now
would it
this
be better
week,
if you say older people?
Well, elderly, but I guess Craig said that was insulting too. The elderly.
It's tough. I can't come up with a good term. I think older people is getting.
Should we call them golden people?
Maybe we call them golden people. Yeah. Rob, you're two for two, man.
Did you guys see the news story this week about the Osborne suicide pact?
Yes.
The Sharon and Ozzy Osbourne.
Trigger warning.
See, that's the thing. It should not have a trigger warning. Death awaits us all.
Yeah.
And so I think that the facetiousness of my kind of flippant comment is because everyone got very triggered, Rob, you're right, by this suicide pact. And all these people we see on The Golden Bachelor are all basically saying the same thing. They're saying they need a spouse to die before them or together in like a car crash.
Mm. I can't do anything alone.
Right. I can't just mourn what my wife and live out my golden years, you know, without someone. I'm so used to having a warm body near me in bed. I'm so... you know, like they just have a lot of attachment issues.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what was our problem last week too, is that they weren't quite as emotionally mature because they are still on this hunt.
Yeah. That was our point last week. I was kind of riffing on that. It's that I don't think that we're seeing people that are any more emotionally or intellectually mature than the 20-somethings we see normally. Now, that gets me into trouble.
Nah,
because
I mean,
most of the Bachelor Nation is like, oh, they're so cute and they're so mature and they're blah, blah, blah. It's like, I'm sorry, I'm going against Bachelor Nation on this. And I think our podcast is.
The fact is that these are people who want to be on television. It doesn't matter the age. The people who want to be on a dating show on television are going to have skew a certain way and mentally.
Yeah, and what EZR is saying is that they have these attachment issues, which just
and they're old as hell.
And they're golden, Rob.
Sorry, golden as hell.
Look, our scholar listener had a good point. You know, let's try to be more aware of the terminology that we're using, and you know, we're not trying to.
No, I'm sorry. If it's facetious, that's one thing. But an old person is an old person. A young person is a young person. Yeah. In the middle, I'm not fighting with the listener, but I'm wondering: is it that you called someone old, or is it that you were facetious in calling someone? Right. You know what I mean? Like,
right. And to me, like you said, that term is kind of cute and funny, but it's also factual, right?
Yes.
Like it is fact. I'm not saying, hey, that old, you know, that decrepit, like falling apart.
Rotting.
No, I'm saying literally old. Like old has no connotation. Should have no connotation.
Right.
Should have. And I, like I said, again, we should all be so lucky. Plenty of people die in their 40s and their 50s. We hope everyone, you know, we hope we live to be that.
Yeah.
Age.
Right. So on that note, so Sam has this big poop thing. Now, EZR.
That's Bachelor in Paradise.
Hold on. No, I'm jumping ahead. I'm taking some privilege here. I founded this podcast, so I get to jump ahead.
What is happening?
When I say so.
What? So, Craig, so we're not talking
about
the Golden
Bachelor? You don't want to be ganged up on and you want to shove your will and
do what he wants.
Now listen, there's this big poop thing, and EZR, you get squirmy around that. So what you're saying is it's okay to talk about death openly because you shouldn't squirm, but if we talk about a natural bodily function like pooing,
I love poop. Like I have no problem with talking about poop and bowels and human refuse. And I like talking about that stuff. What I want veto.
You're like George Costanza. Perfect. He likes manure because it's a ma, which is okay, and a newer, which is okay. So if you think about it, manure is really not that bad.
No, he's talking about the word itself. But I felt like the poop storyline was – I want to veto talk on it because it's unneeded. The characters are not compelling.
Then, hold on. Don't talk about it then. Let's just talk specifically about talking about poop.
Okay.
Let's talk specifically about the Golden Bachelor. How about
you? Don't have
yeah.
You don't have any. You don't squirm at all because I swear you said a couple episodes ago.
I said it about something else. No, I said it about the first episode's storyline, main storyline. This episode's main storyline bored me because I don't like the people.
Hold on, we're not talking about Bachelor in Paradise yet. We're just talking about poop. I don't make me go back.
You started this podcast, Craig, and you can take it wherever you want.
No, because I'm trying to prove a point that EZR has a problem with talking about poop.
I have no problem talking about poop.
I don't think she did. I don't think
that doesn't bother me. I specifically said I think in the conversation of this other thing bothers me. Poop does not bother me. But of course you hear this is the conversation about things that bother me. Here's something that doesn't. Everything bothers easier.
I think there's a lot of I think if I remember correctly, listening back on episodes and looking at all of my notes I take on your episodes that ECR had talked about how she thought the storyline was dumb and that doesn't like the poop was dumb.
All right,
you know what's really dumb? Scripted talent shows.
I see Rob's trying to force us into
I can't force you guys force you guys anywhere.
Love it, Rob. Thank you. You know what, majority
hold on.
Rule here
before
Craig,
we go
we're jumping
we
back
talk, you know, JNLA has been chiming in and because we're still talking about scholar listener mail here. JNLA warned me last night he said that Bachelor Nation is heavily Team Brayden.
Okay, wait, no, even if that's true, can we put a pin in that.
Yeah.
I would love to talk about that.
Okay.
Especially when we start talking about Bachelor Nation. I watched the first episode of House of Villains, which has Corinne on it from Ooh. Nick Vial's season, cool. or Vial, right. Vial, Vial.
Yeah.
Anyway, Vial. And she has some thoughts on Bachelor Nation as well, but we can get there. We can get there.
I'm interested in that. Okay.
Yeah. Well, so you guys are doing a great job of controlling the flow of this podcast. You don't need me. I'm just going to hang out.
All right. See you later, Craig.
All right. Bye. I'm out.
We're going to do a 2-hour episode.
We, Craig and Rob, we are going to talk about Kathy, Teresa, and back to your, what was it? Emotionally intelligent conversation, Craig. Okay. Got that?
Oh, Craig.
Oh, no. He really signed out. Don't worry. Let him mope in the corner. He'll come running back once
I were just given. We were just razzing. We were razzing.
He'll come back. He'll be back. Okay.
All right. Fine. You learned your lesson.
Oh, he came back. Oh, he feels better now, guys. Now, let. I want to play something we've rarely, maybe never, have seen in Bachelor Nation, which is a straight-up conversation that's not exactly full of anger, but maybe it is for this person. This is what I'm trying to parse here, is that Kathy goes straight to Teresa, I don't know, and like, tries to say, why are you angry at me? Craig, what happened in this buildup here? Like, why were they angry at each other? Kathy and Teresa, do you remember?
Well, Teresa was like gloating about all of her time with Gary. And Kathy was getting sick of it. It's very simple.
And I think that my thought was, we see Kathy and Teresa in the kitchen at one point, and it's got that like overhead cam because they're like, shit, we got to catch this, you know, and there was no camera person. And Teresa's just like, I know a lot of people that, I don't remember exactly what she said, but it was like, a lot of people are having a great time with Gary, but like him and I just like have this different kind of like oblivious to how it's coming off. Like, she's got main character syndrome in that sense that, and I've said this on podcasts in the past, but like, I think Tom Sandoval has it too. Everyone is the star of the movie they're directing in their head. But only certain people, it clicks like, oh, that's how everyone thinks. And it has not clicked for Teresa. So Teresa's just like, oh yeah,
I mean, at the end, we all know that she does the same thing up on the stage, and she's like, you know, during the rose ceremony. So clearly she hasn't gotten it.
Yeah.
Well, exactly. I have all those clips because I want you guys to hear them. Right. Okay. Let's just start off. So we know what Teresa basically says. I have a clip of her saying something similar, but let's listen to Teresa and Kathy fights. And Teresa is the first one to speak here, so you can kind of distinguish her voice.
You know, people should something like keep things to be more discreet and keep things.
I think you and Gary have a huge connection. Here's my problem. You have made me feel.
Oh, no,
let me finish. What? And I feel like you're dismissing me, like he and I are going off in the sunset. Go pack because you're going home. That's how you've made me feel sometimes.
Oh, my God. I didn't know that. I'm so sorry.
You've made me feel.
Oh, my God. Oh
like
my
it's
God.
A foregone conclusion.
Oh, my God. I don't think that at all.
You say things like, no, don't cry. When you say things like, you guys have a huge connection. I think that's the kind of stuff that sounds possessive, territorial, and get the hell out of my way, he's mine. That's not a pretty picture, Teresa.
I was just trying to be open and honest.
You can't blame, no, I'm not buying that. What comes out of our mouths is our responsibility, and it's and we own it.
Oh my God, I feel horrible.
Can you imagine working with Teresa? Like,
yeah,
I can't even
dumb
imagine
or
it.
Cunning.
I think dumb.
Oh, and really? Okay.
Yeah, I do not think that she I'm sorry. I'm not from Nebraska, but I am. I did grow up in the Midwest. But like the amount of like I haven't even thought about how this is going to sound that comes out of people a generation older than me and have not had to like learn things in the way that our generation has had to learn things is astounding to me. And the amount of like just arguments I've had to get in with family members or adjacent family members where it's like, do you really not understand how that comes off? And they're just, they are oblivious. And I think she really does not understand that like her connection that she feels with Gary is the exact same connection that Kathy feels with Gary.
Right.
Yeah. Now you nailed it, Rob. I think she's a part of her generation.
Yes.
And that is a very interesting thing to watch for those of us who are frustrated with that generation, right?
Yes.
I think she's catty and she's braggadocious in like how she talks. So what here is an example though of her doing it, because that overhead camera, like I didn't quite hear it from Kathy. I thought Kathy was jealous at first, as Edith kind of characterizes it correctly, saying, oh, look, everyone's jealous. Everyone's getting kind of they're starting to like Gary and they're starting to not like each other because they're not college students anymore and can't just live in the same house. They're set in their ways. All that was true until I heard the rose ceremony conversation. And this is Teresa whispering to Kathy. So I really had to, normalize this. I had to bump it up a little bit, but hopefully you can still hear it.
Did you have a really nice time with him?
I was mostly crying.
Yeah. Oh,
no. He's just, he's just such a great guy.
He's so nice.
He's so intuitive.
He came up to me and said the most wonderful thing. He came up to where I was bawling my eyes out in the bedroom.
He came up to your bedroom? Teresa, that's the kind of stuff you need to keep to yourself.
I think Teresa is a nice person, but I can't figure out if she's dumb as a rock or knows exactly what she's doing.
So that's
Let's vote.
Question,
dumb
right?
as a rock.
Rob,
but he already said dumb as a rock.
Well, but I also think like she knows what she's doing, but she doesn't want to. Like, I don't think she has the wherewithal to like realize that other people get what she's doing too, which is dumb, right? She's not giving people the credit they deserve that they can critically think that, like, you know, you slide in this thing about him coming to your room, like. And then go, oh, no, I didn't mean to make you feel a certain way. It's like, no, yes, you did. And just saying that you didn't doesn't make it the truth. So both of these things are cunning and dumb at the exact same time.
Right.
Exactly. That's how I feel. I feel she's manipulative, but she's unaware of how she's getting caught. You know, I think sometimes she gets away with her manipulativeness.
Mm-hmm.
And then she's also kind of so ingrained in how everyone in her generation talks that she doesn't realize that anyone else in the world can be like, you sound real annoying. And as we kind of saw, maybe she's sweet and all this, but she's also, she never says anything bad about herself. Like, if you were really dumb and whatever, unaware, let's like, you know, whatever, naive,
dumb and old.
Yeah, you would accidentally say things that aren't going well, but she doesn't. You know, she only says the good stuff. She says, she like humble brags all over the place when she gets a chance to brag. Not.
Totally.
Yeah. So
she gets all uppity. At least we saw it. We could have been a producer edit that just crafting it together. But when Tiny Dancer, whatever her name is,
Sexy Dancer
was doing all that like sexy Tiny dancing. They were like staring at Teresa. Was like, what? So you know, she gets all morally confused there.
Totally.
Oh, and that is that generation too. It's just like what you're talking about, ECR. It's like. they want to wave their morals in one hand while still being able to do everything they want with the other hand.
Yeah, exactly. Totally.
Now, on the other, like, on the other side of this coin, there's Gary, right? Because they're going to have all their drama. But when is the last time ever we've seen a lead understand immediately what's happening? And here we can hear him do it.
Oh, he turns into a therapist.
Well, okay.
Everybody thinks that I've been boasting about.
Spoiler alert.
That I have a connection with you.
I can't believe it was Teresa. This is very unfortunate because having had a one-on-one date with Teresa, I found her to be very tender-hearted. In your heart,
Craig,
you don't believe that you were boastful.
You can't do that.
You don't believe that you were doing anything to hurt someone. Then I think you should let it go. Now there's just this disturbance, and that's not what I'm here for.
Craig, no, I don't think you're right. I think he's giving good advice. I don't know. Therapist is a little bit. He's not.
Yeah, that feels a little like he's tongue in cheek.
I don't know. Me saying that is tongue in cheek? I don't know. I think he comes across kind of patronizing.
He's a dork.
Despite what he's saying is the truth. It's just like the way he's saying it is very. Like, I'm the one who knows what the answer is here, and you're not, or I don't know.
Every Bachelor and Bachelorette, regardless of the show, right?
Well, I don't know. You don't see like Colton sitting down and saying like.
Yeah, you just see him stalking people.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
When's the last time? So what I'm honing on here is his perceptiveness. He answered it perfectly. He helped her out without burying anyone else. But he didn't ignore it either, right? Most bat leads, female or male, here's what tends to happen. Male leads are like, oh my God, this is too much for me. I can't deal with women drama. Goodbye, everybody. Women leads are like, let me get to the bottom of this and totally go off on some tangent and not the bottom of it. So to see a perceptive lead is not just perceptive, but immediately understands the issue. Maybe because he had two.
I don't two daughters. See. I gotta disagree here.
No,
I don't think he's being perceptive. I think the problem could have been any problem, and he would have said the exact same thing.
He did nail it. He did nail it.
I think he nailed it by
accidentally.
Yeah.
No.
Yes.
No. I don't know if I go that far.
He has two daughters, and he's emotionally intelligent. You yourself said he was emotionally intelligent.
He has two daughters. Therefore, he's got, 50 years of experience saying the right thing.
Yeah.
And so he just said the right thing. It could have been for anything. He said the generic right thing. There you go. That's
no.
I don't know how generic it was, though.
It was very generic. Play it again.
It does not apply to every conversation.
Play it again.
Okay. Okay. Hold on. I'm going to fast forward it to the end.
Having had a one-on-one date with Teresa,
this is his to camera.
Tender-hearted. If in your heart you don't believe that you were boastful, you don't believe that you were doing anything to hurt someone, then I think you should let it go. Now
it's like Mad.
That's very case specific, Craig. No, incredibly. Even the second time I heard it, I thought maybe no.
I'm 100% wrong.
He does cite things exactly to the moment.
We need Caitlin to break the tie here.
No,
there's not a tie. There's not a tie.
I need Caitlin here
to
make a tie.
She is not going
side
to
on my side.
Be on your side. They're saying. That was the perfect thing to say, and it didn't take a side either.
Craig, I see where you're coming from, that he knows how to, like, talk in a way that isn't going to, like, ruffle feathers, and that is probably something he has learned over the last 30 years or whatever, but, like, I don't think everyone is calculated and every decision he makes is calculated. I think he heard what she was saying and like gave an answer that, although it was, yes, a bit beige, still addressed what was going on.
No, speaking of beige, you know whose favorite color is beige?
The entire cast?
No, isn't that what Kat says? She said her favorite color.
Oh, beige. Yeah.
You want to switch?
I got thoughts on that. Hey, can I?
I want to switch that badly.
Well, I just want to bring up something. So, my partner was back staying at my mom's house last week and had my mom, who is in her late 60s, watch The Golden Bachelor because my stepfather passed away a couple of years ago and my mom has recently started dating again.
Whoa.
And has a boyfriend.
Whoa.
And so we kind of got this, you know, scholarly approach to The Golden Bachelor by having a test audience of that generation. And let me just give you my mother's past three partners, right? My dad, who for the life of me in my adult years have no idea how my parents got together, but like he had owned a bar and that had like live music and stuff. And they divorced when I was in like fourth grade. And then a few years after that, my mom got married to a Finnish rock musician and who was living in America. And then they were together for up until, you know, so what, 96 until 2020, something like that. And then now my mom is dating another musician. And she said that Gary was kind of white bread and boring and kind of a nerd. not exactly the words she said, but like very on point. And that she doesn't feel connected to the show because she doesn't like Gary doesn't do anything for her. But my mom, I think, is not like these women, like in terms of like,
she sounds like Leslie, like Sexy Dancer.
Yeah, she's a little bit. But she's not. She's more like hippy dippy, right? And so
that's what Sexy Dancer says she is.
Yeah, like, but Sexy Dancer is like wants to be a hippie. My mom actually hitchhiked from Middle America to California in the summer of love, sort of person, right? Mm-hmm. And so, it's strange though, because I see tendencies in my mom and that side of the family in people like not necessarily exactly this, but in like Teresa, where like, oh, I'll say what's on my mind and not be thinking about like how that actually comes across. And it's just so interesting to like get that point of view that like, she's like, oh no, not Gary, never Gary, but also having the same tendencies as some of the cast members. And I don't know. Mm-hmm. Thought you all might enjoy that.
Interesting. Huh. Yes. Well,
It goes against what Caitlin said, because Caitlin was insistent that she, you know, like a lot of older people, golden people, don't feel the need to date.
Well, she was just giving examples. Like, yeah, that was just an anecdote. That was not really like any kind of stat.
This podcast is full of anecdotal evidence, and now I am part of it. So,
well, see, here's the thing is that, Rob, the beginning of The Bachelor to me was supposed to be your fill in the blank man, right? Mm. If you're a 20 something and now you're a 50 something who's been watching it all these years, you're supposed to fill in this perfect man. And so Gary is a return to basics in that he is also, yes, it's a little bit harder to fill in a man when he's already had a life.
Mm.
So they try to pick that. It's kind of like that Jerry Seinfeld joke where, you know, I think it's a Jerry Seinfeld joke where, you know, the dress and the bridesmaids all look different.
Oh, yeah.
Like the wedding, the bride, but the grooms and the groomsmen.
This man.
You can just shift them all down one.
You can just pull, the next one in line, which is kind of, that's the only prejudice towards men part in the whole show. Everything else is on the man's side. Right.
Don't you feel like Golden Bachelor is a little bit patronizing though? Like, oh, look at these poor golden folks. Isn't it like, oh. Like,
I think that's what they're trying to do.
Yeah.
I think
right.
But they're trying to get the 20-somethings. This is what gets me into trouble. I say things like, no, I think the women are just as catty and manipulative as any of the 20-somethings we see on the show, men or women.
Well, I think the problem is saying things like catty, though. I think
they are.
I think being prone to arguments and fighting is part of the Bachelor machine. And if you are a person who wants to be on the show, that is just a personality trait. And the problem this show is trying to have it both ways. It's trying to be like, look, love happens at any age, and it's also sad, and people are dying, and these people have all lost someone, and they've lost their love. But at the core of it, it's people that are trying to compete to be prom king and queen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And saying that gets me into trouble. So, Rob, you're now going to get some negative listener feedback.
Say things like catty.
Well, they are catty.
With Craig, you're misinterpreting the criticism that you're getting. The criticism you're getting is because you sigh and act like it's a chore to watch a show that you're a podcast about.
Okay.
I agree with you, though, on some level that 20-something saying 60-something, 70-somethings are cute is kind of an issue.
Yep.
Because they are saying like, oh my God, you know, they're treating them like pets or something.
Yeah. Yep.
And that, okay. Now.
I just want to reinforce that, because that's something I've said that where I'm actually really right. So I want you to
Craig's
say,
like, can we make note of when I'm right?
Well, here's my issue with the show. Like, I have no problem with the show concept. I think it's great. I think it's an interesting idea, but I felt like the Bachelor production did not bring it, you know, in quotes, did not use their full talents to really show us something new and different and everyone in a new light. I don't know what's going on behind the scenes in terms of how they're scrambling, because this is their first year season without Mike Fleiss, but they are either checked out or trying their best and not getting it right.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, because there's no difference between this show and any other shows. It's just the same.
Well, that's the thing, is that I feel like there's been a steady decline, and this is it. This is a steady decline where it should be a refresher, like, okay, The Bachelor is back. This is interesting. And it is, in spite of itself, right?
Yeah.
On accident. Okay, now we can move on.
Are we moving on to Bachelor in Paradise, or?
Now we can move on to Bachelor in Paradise. Unless you got any final thoughts about, I mean, we saw a Temecula date in a hot air balloon. Fine, great.
I just thought the talent show was so dumb.
The talent show, yeah.
It was so dumb.
Do you know where it was? They didn't put a chyron and tell us what, they didn't show like the outside of the building and tell us
ABC
where it was.
ABC Studios, I'm sure.
Yeah,
that's exactly like them phoning it in. They could be somewhere. You know, they could easily rent something for maybe 20% more of their budget, but they don't. Yeah. They want just soundstage.
Well, they
soundstage.
Have. I mean, Caitlin Bristow does something on some other show.
They have and they won't.
Pantages or something like that.
Sure. Okay. Now, okay,
the fake diner that they went to in the first episode. It was an actual place. Yeah. Cadillac Jack's Cafe and Pink Motel.
Yes.
Okay. So we're talking about Bachelor in Paradise now.
Yeah. Can I bring up Jane LA now?
You already have.
Yeah. He warned me that all of Bachelor Nation, and I've kind of confirmed this. I was browsing X, and it's seems to be true. And Reddit had some poignant subreddits,
comments,
threads. I guess is what I was trying to say. He warned me that everyone is Team Brayden, and I should be careful if I come in as Team Kat.
How did the conversation get there?
Well, he X'd something like
X'd.
Brayden's right. Kat's awful. I hate Kat. Kat can go to hell.
Are we really sure this isn't just the internal misogyny of watching these shows?
Well, that's kind of what
I. This is me. This is me being that one guy.
Yeah, you have to be very careful here, Rob. We're gonna. He warned us that we could lose listeners if any.
I'm weaponizing therapy right now. Just so you know, we all know how well it works when you weaponize therapy, right?
Yeah. It works so well on The Bachelor. Like, people get away with it.
Yeah,
all the time.
And so I X'd back like, hey.
X'd back.
You could just say post. You posted. You replied.
There are universal terms. Cat, and he said, whoa, I'm not going to listen if you are Team Cat, and I think most of Bachelor Nation is going to stop listening to you if you're Team Cat.
That's actually not true. They will listen more and then let you know about it. And it's
well, what we need is we need one of our scholars, one of our listeners, to write up, to do a Reddit post like, Bachelor PhD is on the side of Cat.
That would be if we're on the side of Cat.
Well, I'm kind of on the side of Kat. I want a scholar to write up a Reddit thread that says, you know, I listened to the Bachelor PhD, so you don't have to. Those ones get past the
like a Vanderpod Recaps, account? Yeah.
We need something.
Here's what like to say. Yes.
Oh, well, look, can we first play the Braden Kat breakup? Because I think that's the source of everything, right?
Is this the breakup or is this the comments that happen later when she pulls him aside?
The breakup itself, because the comments that happen later are kind of up for interpretation. Like they
yes. Okay.
It gets so messy, right? Okay.
What do you think of Tanner? He's a cool dude, huh?
I did enjoy my time with Tanner for sure. Today really exciting. It was fun to just like get out of here. My energy levels were a little like different, like my feelings were different when I was around him and stuff, and just kind of being around like a different person, and like I have to listen to my gut at the end of the day, and I just don't know if I see my feelings like growing anymore between you and I.
Can I ask a question?
You don't see any feelings developing further. Can I ask what changed with that?
I was just listening to my feelings. Like the fact that I wasn't like thinking about us while I was there. Like honestly, I was just like happy and enjoying it. And I was like really tapped in, and I wasn't like tapped in at all like what might be happening here between you and I.
I showed you kind of who I was and what I had to offer. And it's like, I can't do anything more than that. And if it's not wanted, and if it's not, if someone doesn't want that, I'm not going to ever beg anybody to want me.
I still think that you would be a great person to someone else.
Hang on.
That's where he should have stopped, because time and again, I've said this, if you're a young person listening to the Bachelor PhD and you want some advice with, you know, breakups, get in and out quickly. Just break up and go on your way. And
should have been listening to their gut? Sam.
Yeah, I was going to make that same joke, but I thought you guys were going to like yell at me.
No.
He's going to keep pressing and pressing, and that's going to put her into a corner.
But doesn't that show how actually, you know, hurt he is?
Because
it doesn't matter. When it comes to breaking up and it comes to quitting your job, You can't get answers. They're not there. You just have to let it go.
Yeah, I think here's my problem is that Kat could have been more direct, and but the bigger problem here with Braden is that he's still in that era, and I'm sure, how old is he? 26? I don't know.
24, I think.
24. Okay. So I totally understand. I can imagine like he still takes it as a like personal insult if he is rejected. Like it is a value judgment on him. Will is the same way. And what they haven't experienced is that like you can't control or manipulate anyone else into liking you. And so the fact that you want to keep talking when someone is obviously dumping you is only digging your own emotional hole. And no, I don't agree that Kat in any way was like I would be team Kat here, because the fact is that when they do fight later, she isn't like, she wants to talk to Brayden, but doesn't want to listen to Brayden. She wants Brayden to shut up. And what would be better is if she's like,
well, that's Brayden, just it.
Stop complaining. I dumped you. Shut up. We don't need to cause more drama. But instead she's like, you weren't listening to me when I told you that I was feeling a different way and I wasn't going to come to you, and yada, yada, all this stuff that doesn't matter. It doesn't matter at all. What matters is she doesn't want Brayden going around complaining that he got dumped and that he saw a future with her, because it's embarrassing.
Okay. Three things based on what you said. First thing is, you're right. You can not be team Brayden, but also not be team Kat. So if you're listening to this and you're penning an email to us to tell us how awful I am for being team Kat, I can team Brayden and also not be team Kat.
You are preempting something that hasn't happened. You've said you're team Kat, but you haven't told us why.
I didn't say I was team Kat.
Okay.
I said
you're scared of being team Kat, though.
Look,
that's the issue.
Number two is, just last week, none of us want, and I'm speaking for Bachelor Nation here, none of us wanted to hear anything Brayden had to say. And now all of a sudden we all are like, well, what's Brayden have to say?
Well, yeah, when you see an injustice in Bachelor Nation, in quotes,
everyone has to like.
Everyone has to.
That
now I am dead, like dying for this person. Yes,
exactly.
It's just so like, and maybe this is just speaking to a younger me at this moment, but it is.
That's
just
everyone in Bachelor Nation.
Yeah, exactly. By the way, it's so embarrassing to see someone be able to, at the drop of a hat, like plan. Like forget anything else that has ever happened in their life, because now someone else is giving me attention.
Yeah.
So between like Will and Brayden, it's like, how long have they been here? 4 days, something like that. A week, maybe.
Not even.
And Brayden's like, I just he's complaining to Wells and all these people. Like, I really saw a future with her.
Yeah,
bro,
I was falling for her,
and I saw a future. We could be together forever. And it's like, yeah. Because you were comfortable and someone liked you, but stop seeing that future the moment that person doesn't want to be with you. Who cares?
First off, we are in the third week of this show. So honestly, time, I'm not sure. But the question here is for you two, since you seem to kind of be not on the side of right, capital R, was she using him for a rose, but better at hiding it than other people?
Let me go first here, because I have to finish up my third point, which is related to what you're asking.
Okay.
And Jane LA is probably screaming at his podcast player right now, because he's like, you forgot to talk about what I'm about to talk about, which is...
Jay, chill out.
No, Jay's cool. I can feel his energy.
Well, if he's screaming, I want him to chill out.
I'm like, Kat, my energy changed. look, so... The way she treats him when she gets changed into her green getup, like she says yes to Tanner, then she goes and gets changed and comes back in her green getup, and he goes, "Oh, you look beautiful," and she just completely ignores him, and like walks right by him.
That was awesome.
Was cold as ice.
Great television.
And it was great television, but I can see why many people are anti Kat because of that.
I could also see Kat not hearing him. Like, I'm sure she did hear him and blew him off, but like Brayden was very much like, oh yeah, you look beautiful.
Yeah, it's true. So anyway, that relates to what you were asking, EZR.
Which is,
you want to
restate
using
your question?
For
a rose?
Yeah, exactly.
Everyone does.
The thing is that from other people, they were much more honest. Like Kylie, she said, Avon is my number one. I am waiting for him. Oh, I accidentally like someone else. But the second Avon came down, she's like, oh my God. You know, the person hiding it. Was Kat just better at hiding it? Because then when Tanner does come down, I'm like, who the hell is Tanner? Do all Tanners look the same?
She looks exactly like the other Tanner.
Yeah, she's like, that's my number one. And I'm like, oh, so everyone honed in on that, right? Like, that's why she is, she looks bad here.
Kat is boring and Tanner is boring, and that's why they like each other.
But like, lest we forget, I'm giving you guys this crumb because I don't necessarily agree with what the points are so far to be on Kat's side, but Brayden did kind of pick her out as a second choice.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
But not exactly, because...
Yeah, no, exactly, because
it was his second pick.
It was literally his second pick. Yeah.
Okay. Let me... let's just say you care a little bit, but you're still mostly on Kat's side. Like, I don't quite see that. I see... I see that they're both at fault, kind of thing, but meh, you know, whatever. Go ahead.
I think that Kat wanted to stay in, enjoyed hanging out with Brayden, but she was never leaving with Brayden. Like, that was never going to be a thing. Brayden was just happy someone liked him.
Yeah.
And
he is so good. I'm sorry. That is crazy to me that he's happy. Because he is.
That's the thing.
So good looking.
And that is that. I mean, I can see right through it. Like, he has no confidence, and that's why he wears big earrings and floppy hats, and he has to peacock in these sort of ways. When Kat agrees to go on another date with Tanner, a guy that is incredibly milquetoast and would never wear Dreamcatcher earrings, he's like, oh, the things I'm using that I think make myself unique, my whole crystals personality, is not working. And so that means that, like, if the things, my affectations I put on aren't helping the scenario, then now it's a reflection of me personally, and I am not good enough, and I'm remembering all of these self-doubts and confidence things that I have, and he just already gives up. And so he's moping around all day, as the other people say, like, he's starting to spiral. And so, of course, that's happening for hours and hours and hours until Kat comes back, drinks start flowing, she dumps him, and he's like, of course, because I knew this was coming. And then he just starts complaining to anyone that will listen so that he can get a shoulder to cry on. And Kat just goes, this is stupid. Stop talking about me. I dumped you. And it's unfortunate because Bachelor Nation, I'm sorry if you side with Brayden here, both of them suck, but like, Brayden was much more talkative about the scenario, so he brought it on himself.
I'll just say, for the record, I agree with all that except for the Brayden has no confidence part. But
he knows how to make it look like he has confidence, but he does not have confidence. That's why he wears Dreamcatcher earrings.
I can kind of agree with that he puts on this huge facade to act like he's this cool rock star dude, but the way he has talked about it in the past has made me, you know that inside he's a shy little boy, and that's why he's doing it to, like,
and that's why he's moping.
It. He is very emotionally intelligent, and I'll tell you how I knew that Kat and Brayden will never end up together before even the first week of Paradise, because they showed us that they were gonna hook up. They wouldn't show it to us if they were gonna end up together. Yeah. Okay, but let me go. Let me here's like my full take on it. Okay.
All right.
Brayden, I do think, because he's emotionally intelligent, Rob, like, I agree with everything you said, except for I think he's very intelligent. And in that way, he is too good for her. Right. And in my opinion, she did him a favor.
Yes.
Because she is not where he's at, even though she's a little bit older than him.
She's 27 almost.
27 versus a 27-year-old, 26-year-old woman versus a 24-year-old man is a huge difference, as you guys can even imagine. If you guys can remember, think back to that.
Yeah. And of course, Kat, as we all know, is 30, but we'll keep going.
Oh, that's a good take. I think that could be. I think the fact that all the women on the beach were against her signals to Bachelor Nation how conniving she is, right? So maybe she was using him for a rose, but better at hiding it. The women who pulled her aside to call in said, called her dismissive and closed off to any perspective, and that she, I mean, and then eventually it got said that she does, you see her doing it. She victimizes herself, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
She calls other people argumentative and said that they cut her off. And it's like, you're argumentative. You cut people off. You're dismissive. You are playing the victim when you're not the victim.
Exactly. Okay.
But here's my bigger point here, and I think this is why Bachelor Nation is upset, and for once, I will take their side. I am not taking their side out of any kind of fear of losing audience. I do not care. People on this beach who are waiting for someone, in quotes, have not had any kind of comeuppance, right? The other people, the people who kind of are more flowy, like Brayden and Will, have just gambled wrong and are in the bad place by having done that. It's really not fair to watch that. So I think that the blindsiders, right, Kat and Kylie and Mercedes, are frustrating people because they're ending up with that's the problem with Bachelor Nation, is that I am guessing that a lot of Bachelor Nation are prom goers, kings and queens, but they hate the prom kings and queens. They like the underdog. And you're kind of like, which one is it? You know, do you want people to have their comeuppance? Do you want you to look bad? Do you want like the pig's blood on you? Like, I am confused by Bachelor Nation and their allegiances. So I agree that sometimes the blindsiders need like a dose of reality and they haven't had it yet. Like Mercedes, that was kind of tricky of her to do the same thing, right? She obviously picked Will. Tyler was, in quotes, her number one. Kylie, I feel like she was more naive, but she did have Avon as her number one. But Kat also was the trickiest of them all. And I can see why she should be in trouble, but I don't think people are quite putting that together. Bachelor Nation. As people, when I say people, I say Bachelor Nation are not putting that together.
It's as simple as for Bachelor Nation that she used Brayden for a rose, which is wrong, but not taking into accountability, like, even if that happened, Brayden was acting like a petulant little kid. Yes, he's more emotionally intelligent than Kat, but, like, he's not mature or intelligent enough to know that you need to shut up. Like, you can't just complain all day without repercussions of that. Whether or not those repercussions are good, like Kat's argument was totally projecting, like you said, but it's gonna happen if you can't stop talking about how you saw a future and she totally used you and now you're hurt and all of that. So it was Kat using him for a rose? 100%. But you accept that. You realize what happens, you say your piece, and then you move on.
He's actually smart about what's going on, like big picture, bird's eye view, but he is not, he doesn't see himself sometimes, which is what we want.
Yeah.
In a contestant. Yeah.
We want a contestant that has self-confidence. And that's what's confusing about this to me, because Brayden,
He is confident.
Went on this whole thing about how he's not confident.
Yeah,
but peacocking is what we want. What he does, and, where he like puts himself out there, but inside, you know, you scratch a little bit on that surface, and he crumbles.
He ain't a winning lottery ticket.
All right, okay. Look, let's close the book on all this. Let's just point out one other thing about Kat, which is when all this is going down and everyone's like turning against her and all her girlfriends are like, we need to talk. And she's like, I was just taking a shower. I love that.
Yeah. She's like, I just came back from freshening up. She says it like a, like she should be on the Golden Bachelor. Well, look, she knows what she did wrong because she would not walk up there and be like, oh my God, I love this look to like a rant, you know, to Jess. She's trying to derail the subject.
Jess, who's been bloated the whole episode.
I put her out of one piece.
She's trying to... Yeah, that's really weird. And then it's weird that Tyler didn't ask her out. See, that's the problem. There's a lot of pre-planning here. Mm-hmm. Where Tyler knew who he was going to take.
Tanner.
Avon knew who he was going to... No, Tyler.
Tyler.
Oh, Tyler. Okay, we're on to Tyler now.
Yeah. Okay. No, well, there's not much to be onto, but I'm saying there seems to be a lot of pre-planning. They keep telling us about the fire emoji and about, oh, you two are roommates. Oh, us two are roommates. Oh, we're best friends. So let's all get together. Yeah. We'll make the best friend, you know, couples group. Like, you know, we'll be this exciting Instagram thing we can all follow. So I think that that is the actual seed of the hatred that is happening right now on Bachelor Nation, is against all the pre-planning.
Yeah,
oh, sure. We say that every year. It's like,
well, do we,
how old is Blake, by the way?
32, it says.
No way.
No, 38? What are you thinking?
I'm thinking Blake has got to be at least 42 years old.
Whoa. Now you're going into Craig's.
Yeah, you're being ageist here.
I'm not being ageist. I'm just saying, like, Tom Sandoval is 42 years old and says he's 40. And Blake looks at least the same age as Tom Sandoval.
Well, I'm 43, and I think I'm 50. So there you go.
It says he's 33 years old. Do we think that Blake was born in 1990?
Jess is a youngin. Jess is like 23 or 24, right? So that's like a 10-year gap with them, which, of course, I don't think anyone... See, here's the thing. Jess and Blake are going to play each other just like Brayden and Kat did, but they're going to get off scot-free for whatever reason, you know? But Bachelor Nation won't blink an eye when Jess moves on to another person.
Like, I'm sorry, Jesse Palmer is 45 years old, and you're telling me that Blake is more than 10 years younger than Jesse Palmer? I don't believe it.
Wow. You're really doing the, like, comparison analytics here.
Wells is 39.
Wells still perpetual 12-year-old, so I don't know. He's so obnoxious. I don't know what the like is there. That's what's going to get me in trouble with Bachelor Nation. I do not like Wells. I do not get Wells. I do not think he's, like, interesting, or he has good advice, or
Craig likes him because of that Morning Zoo radio.
What does he do?
He does a morning show. Or he used to. Yeah.
He seriously, like, fell ass backward into fame and fortune and, like, a wife. The whole thing is bizarre to me.
I know we were talking about poop earlier, but...
Uh-huh.
So, my partner, Mrs. Colombo, she was saying how...
Mrs. Colombo.
She doesn't watch Bachelor in Paradise anymore because it, like, totally jumped the shark, which I can't disagree with too much, because this season, I think, is proving it, especially with, what, 40 minutes of poop storyline?
Mm-hmm.
Not necessary at all. It wasn't nearly as funny as, like, the producers think it is. That fake doctor that comes in was so difficult to watch, and I just felt bad for Sam because, like, you know how, now she's the poop girl. Anytime she comes back in Bachelor, she's the poop girl.
But she agreed that that's the wildest part, is that already they're bland and unlikable. But on top of that, you brand them something, you know,
just forever. Like how Rachel's the MAGA girl.
Rachel. Oh, is that right? Well, I was thinking more along the terms of, like, Amber Heard, and, like, every time you see her, someone underneath will comment, Amber Turd, poop on the pillow type. We don't know what the actual thing that happened was, but why? Mm-hmm. No one would do that to themselves unless they were asked to, because they were told and they are unlikable, boring, uninteresting. And there's always this storyline in Bachelor in Paradise that's this drawn out, in quotes, funny or kind of non, you know, to no end. Like, it has no real point.
Mm-hmm.
And so why bring these two on? I mean, they're not doing anything. These are pre-planners.
Yeah, the last great season. I was just going to say, the last great season of Bachelor in Paradise was with that dude who had the gold swim trunks.
Oh, yeah, Jordan.
Jordan, yeah. That was the last good season.
The model,
There was a poop story in there, too, somewhere.
Yeah.
Taj can't poop.
To be fair, they did. You say they're bland and boring. I I kind of disagree with that. I think that the guy's a paramedic.
Aaron and Sam?
He's like handling it very well and very maturely.
The guy who talks about delivering a poop baby is handling
our poop baby. That's very cute.
That's very cute. But in terms of those two, that's very cute, period, with nothing attached to it. But in terms of those two, that's why this week, to me, Golden Bachelor won. I mean, it won because of other reasons. It won even though, you know, it was more interesting than Bachelor in Paradise. Now, you're telling me that...
It's a race to the bottom.
The love life. Yeah, well, you'd think that, but see, the love life of these... AARP members?
The golden cast
is much more interesting than 20-something vibrant sexual peak people, because they can't fit together another storyline that's a little bit more interesting. They can't outsmart Instagram celebrities. Like, right. that's where you know that the production is in the toilet. Like, you know, it doesn't take much to be, yeah, a producer in the reality world, in terms of you fake it till you make it.
I want House of Villains Bachelor style. Just bring me all of the villains and then turn that into a Bachelor show.
Okay, so give us two sentences on what Jax is up to on House of Villains.
He doesn't know how to be in a competition reality show. So it's a whole different dynamic for Jax. And the rumor has it is he leaves early anyway. So I think that's part of it. But Corinne, well, what's the competition? Oh, if you are the last, it's like a vote out show. So if you're the last villain standing, you get $200,000. Yeah.
So they vote on each other, like Survivor and Big Brother or something.
Yeah. Like if you win a competition, you become the super villain of the week. And then you get to choose three people who are up for elimination.
I see.
And no one got eliminated on the first episode of House of Villains. So you get introduced to all the villains, and famous Republican Omarosa makes Corinne cry within like the first 10 minutes of the show. So it's great.
Cool. That's good.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
It was great.
She's a tough lady. So you really got to be that kind of villain. I mean, she took it.
Yeah.
She's so above and
she's beyond. The ultimate American villain. It's great.
Mm-hmm. Okay, y'all. So here's the thing. So EZR and I have been guesting on Rob's podcast called Vanderpump Robs. How long did it take you to come up with that name, Rob?
Not long at all.
I know.
And I actually just recorded an episode with you yesterday. We're going through old television.
The Patreon episode.
Ooh, yeah, you got to sign up for your Patreon. We're going through episodes from the past, from past television, where they incorporate drugs of some kind.
Yeah. So we watched the episode of 90210 where David gets addicted to meth after taking it once.
Yeah, he's like, come on, man. I need more.
I got to do finals and DJ.
I thought you could handle it, man.
Don't treat me like a drug dealer just because I'm getting you your drugs.
Doesn't that sound interesting, EZR?
Yes. I.
Now, what was
I don't
your...
like 90210.
Yeah, that's why about? It was a great thing to cover.
What was your episode about, EZR, that you recorded with Rob?
Mine was Vanderpump Rules.
Yeah, we watched. We did a public episode.
Yeah.
And it was It was, according to Rob, it was kind of the last time they were still meandering middle class people, which is
because they go visit Sheena's ex Rob, right. his lake house in Big Bear, right. And they're all like, wow, he's got his own like two bedroom vacation home.
Yeah,
and Jax almost drowns. It was great because he's performatively trying to be healthy in front of everyone, but mainly his girlfriend, who he's mad isn't, as healthy as she was when she was 22. Yeah, I think that's it. Easier.
Yeah. The whole thing is, and then he cannot say that he's that he needs help, which, that yep. he's drowning. He cannot say that he's drowning.
So he can come help if you want.
While he's drowning, he has to play it off.
Yeah. That's my Jax.
It was a look at the vulnerability of men, really, was our whole talk.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Okay.
Listen to that episode, Craig.
It's the one episode of Vanderpump Rums I haven't listened to.
Save it, in quotes?
He's afraid that you're a better guest than him.
Yeah.
I think that's what it is.
Yeah, exactly.
It's that Jax thing, you know?
It's Jax.
It's that fear of being lesser than as a man. We are told we need to be perfect all the time.
You got me figured out. Yeah.
Hey, I'm a victim of it too, Craig. I know what it is. You know?
In a recent episode of Vanderpump Robs, you guest in someone, the person who does Vanderpod's recap.
Yeah, Vanderpod recaps. Yeah.
Where she recaps all of the in canon. Is that the right word? All the
current Vanderpump podcasts, like cast members who have podcasts.
Cast members. Yeah. That's what I'm thinking about. So that was a good one. I listened to that.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's interesting. That's an interesting concept because that's like a huge meta concept, right?
Yeah.
I get to watch the episode and then you listen to the episodes and then you have to like talk about the episode.
But even all of the half the time the people who are cast members of podcasts don't even talk about the show, like,
right.
But when they do, that's another thing. What it really is showing the real personality of these cast members and then how they're represented on the show.
Right.
And when they have to turn it on. Anyway.
Got it.
This is so, Bachelor Nation talk.
Where can we find you, Rob?
Wherever you listen to podcasts, you search for Vanderpump Robs, and I am on all players. But if you'd like to support the podcast and get bonus ad-free episodes and video episodes, but really, you go to patreon.com/VanderpumpRobs. But here's the thing. You don't support the podcast to get the bonus content. You support the podcast because you want it to keep going. Mm. And then in return, you also get the added bonus of bonus and ad-free episodes.
Very right. Public radio of you, Rob.
Yes,
also,
like, no one supports NPR because they want a tote bag. They support it because they like NPR.
I want that tote bag. Well,
it's an added bonus, right?
Yeah. And Rob, you'll be, you know, and you're supporting the Bridgeburner Podcast Collective, which we're in. Yes. And you'll be back with us next week.
Yes. I'm sorry, Jay. I don't think
Jay in LA is like screaming now. No, I think Jay in LA likes you, Rob. I think everything you said is very Jay in LA today. We'll have to wait and see what he says.
Good.
Jay, I'm waiting for you to DM me on X. Speaking of X, you can find Bachelor PhD. That's the name of this podcast.
Is it?
Thanks, Rob. On all social media platforms. X, Facebook, Instagram, and Blue Sky. You just search for Bachelor PhD at Bachelor PhD. There you go. And you can DM us.
Craig, you run the Instagram now. I just want to make that clear because something happened to my Instagram where it won't show me things. So
has been glitching out. That's your pile. Sure.
All righty. So follow us. Follow Rob. And listen to us. Caitlin will be gone again next week, so Rob will be back with us.
Yeah, Rob.
Okay, everyone. See you later.
Goodbye.
Bye.